Matthew chapter number 13, we'll start in verse number 1. Just go ahead and just remain seated tonight if you would. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing he shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing he shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but doeth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Here we find, given to us, the parable of the sower. The Lord gives many parables throughout the Word. We find two of them are not only illustrated for us, or they are explained for us, while the rest of them, we must basically figure out what they're saying to us. The Old Testament and the New Testament prophets and preachers, they were men like you and I, and yet as they preached, they were often, I believe, very concerned about those who were to be listening. They were seeing that there were those who were hearing, but yet they were not hearing. There were those who were within earshot, and yet did not really catch what was being said. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. For you and I to get saved, we must hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we have it come to our ears but don't really pay attention, then we're not going to be able to believe what it says. We're not going to be able to be saved. And so we find throughout the Word of God a little saying that is given to us. Notice verse number 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That particular statement is given to us several times throughout the Word of God. 8 times, as a matter of fact, in the New Testament. We find that 3 of those are in the same parable, the sower, as we read it in Matthew, as we read the same one in Mark, and also again in Luke. It's also mentioned with the parable of the tares in the same chapter, Matthew 13. It's also mentioned in the parable of the candle under the bushel in the book of Mark, chapter 4. It's also mentioned about the parable of the savorless salt in Luke 14. We find that there are 2 times that it's not used with a parable. One is concerning John the Baptist as he was coming in the spirit of Elijah. And the other is concerning what it is within you and I that defiles us. So it's not used a great many times, but on these 8 different occasions, these 8 references, we find 6 connected with parables or stories that are designed to teach spiritual truth. It's interesting. Society is prepared to listen to stories. Today we might call them books, we might call them movies, but they're stories. And society is very much into that sort of thing. And yet we find that oftentimes we cannot discern a truth that is sought to be taught through that particular story. I remember as a high school student taking literature, and I remember reading different stories, and when we get done reading those stories, we would discuss those in a class. And I remember one particular class, it was a man teacher, and he would say, "Well, what did you get out of that story?" And basically, I got the story. But there was always a group of young folks in that class who got something else. That story taught them a truth. And I didn't see that. And that was something that just didn't gel with me. I thought, well, how do they get that out of that? You know, if I read the poem, Jack and Jill Went Up the Hill, I thought, yeah, Jack and Jill went up the hill, they got some water. You know, I didn't see any spiritual truth that was trying to be taught with that. It did not make sense to me. And yet God wants us to understand from these stories, from these parables, great spiritual truth. And what's sad, though, is that folks don't get real excited about spiritual truth. So God really gives us warning. And that warning is that we really seek to listen, that we might allow the truth to come through to us, that it not be hidden from us. Matthew tells us one of the reasons that we don't gain truth. Notice with me verse number 15, if you would. It says, "For this people's heart is what? Waxed gross." That's an interesting statement. Basically, that means it's inattentive, not paying attention. Set in the classroom, but don't really pay attention. The mind is somewhere else. Many years ago, I've told the story a few times. My daughter-in-law, Teresa, after she got saved, I said, "How did you sit in church for 7 years and not get saved? How is it you could listen to the messages? I think I'm pretty clear on presenting the gospel. How could you do that?" And she said it was very simple. She says, "I just didn't pay attention. I would put my mind on other things. I would think about what I'm going to do after church. Any little disturbance, I would zero in on that. You know, if somebody was whispering to a neighbor or anything," she said, "man, I would just zone in on that particular thing. A child made a noise. It would that. If a bug was crawling on the ceiling, well, I'd put my mind there." And so often we are that kind of a people. And God is telling us this people's heart is wax gross. He goes on in that same verse, says, "Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Basically, what he's showing to us here, they just fall asleep. It's not important enough to stay awake. Now, I realize that especially some men who work outside, when they come inside, they sit down, it's warm inside, and if they've worked, it's somewhat difficult to stay awake. And sometimes we have that kind of a problem. I mean, it's a physical thing, and not necessarily another type of thing. But when we really want to, it's amazing how we can, like Teresa, try to keep our mind off of it, work to keep our mind on it. When I was in Bible college, the classes we sat in, all of one side was windows. The other side was a hallway. And so most of the men that I went to school with worked full-time jobs. We went to school full-time. We then came, went home, ate a little bit, maybe took a little nap, headed off to work, and would work 8, sometimes 10 hours. And most of us worked at one of the auto factories. I particularly worked at Pontiac Motors. Many of those worked at General Motors, assembling trucks. And they'd get off around midnight, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, go home, sleep a little bit, get up and go to school. I remember one shift I had particularly, I went to work, would you believe it, 6:18 in the evening. And we would get off, if we got off on time, 2:48 in the morning. And a little drive home, take a shower when I got home, it would be 3:30 when I crawled into bed. And up at 7 o'clock, eat a little breakfast, get myself ready, and be in my first class at 8 o'clock in the morning. Did that 5 days a week. And afternoon, I'd get a little bit of a nap and so forth. Well, when we get in those classes, we wanted to hear. We wanted to know what was being said. And yet, often we sit there.
You know what I mean?
And you couldn't hardly keep your eyes open. And you know what we did? Those windows came open. I mean, weather like this. I'm sure that the teacher was up there doing this, but we were fairly awake. You could tell where the guys who worked full-time, who had trouble sleeping, they always got close to the windows. They'd open those windows up, they'd get a little that fresh air coming in, get enough cool air, it keeps you cool enough, you don't go to sleep as easy. And because why? They wanted to hear. They wanted to hear. But too often we become dull of hearing, too often we don't really pay attention. And he goes on in this verse and says, they're like this, lest any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, I should heal them. They just don't want to hear it. And so they basically turn it off. God wants us to have hearing ears. Ezekiel chapter 12, he says this, the word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious people, which have eyes to see and see not, they have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Why are we like this? Why is it we just do not many times pay attention? Why is it we don't pay attention to spiritual things? Why is it we don't pay attention to Sunday school teacher or the pastor? Why is it we don't pay attention? Well, God tells us in the book of Ezekiel, because we have rebellion in our hearts. What is rebellion? What is rebellion? Very good. Being against authority. Boy, you must have read my notes. I used a big word, rejection. But it's somebody who's rejecting authority. There was a time in the history of Israel, and there's a book about it called Judges. And during the time of the Judges, we find that the people, they rejected authority over and over. It says it like this, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They didn't want to listen to God. They just did what they thought was right. Proverbs says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Oh, what a great verse we ought to put to practice in heart. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And foolish people, they always think, oh, I'm right. I know what I'm doing. And they will not listen. There was a man by the name of Saul that was like that. He was placed in a position of kingship. And though he was king, God still had an authority over him. Anybody know who his authority was? It was a man. His name was Samuel. He was a prophet. He had anointed him king. And God had left Samuel there to show Saul the right direction to go. And yet we find that Saul would not listen to Samuel. He was told by Samuel to wait at Gilgal for instructions. But he didn't wait. And he did it his own way. He was told that he was to slay all the Amalekites in a battle. And he didn't do it. Matter of fact, after that battle, Samuel goes to him and he says this, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And then he says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So what's a problem we have when we don't want to listen? Our problem is we don't like authority over us. We're in a place of rebellion. Most people, maybe I shouldn't say most, but many people don't want somebody else to tell them what to do. And that's a position of rebellion. And it's a position that, listen, it is going to get us into trouble. We had a man that sat about right here. We had a middle aisle. And you've seen us set up that way. He sat about second, sometimes third row in the church, Sunday after Sunday. I had run into them going from door to door. And had met his wife. She started coming to church. He came some weeks later. He got saved, I think. And came for 2, 3, 4 years. I forget how long. And one day he said something to somebody. He says, I don't like people telling me what to do. In 6 months, he was out of church. He didn't want people telling him what to do. This rejection of instruction and how dangerous a spot it is. We need to be a people who are willing to listen and to allow. And what's one of the problems? We don't want somebody telling us what to do. There's another reason. Ears that don't hear are often what I would describe as proud ears. Until a man wants to, let me just put it bluntly this way, shut up and listen, there's not much hope. The Bible says the fool, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. He that will listen is smart to do so. What's the problem? We're often very foolish. Why? Because we think we know the right way to go. Teenagers, I'm not going to pick on you, but one of the problems that oftentimes we get into as teenagers, I know I was there, is we begin to think we know it all. How many have ever seen a little shirt that says, hire a teenager before they know it all? You ever seen that shirt? You've seen that? Yeah. Because oftentimes we get into that position in our lives. And it gets us in trouble. We need to be a people who are willing. But by the way, it's not just a teenage problem. It runs through society all the way through. And how we need to not have proud ears, but humble ears. Humble ears are that which is willing to listen to instruction. When we come back to the book of Matthew and we look at the parable of the sower, we find some interesting things about it. Notice with me verse number 19. Verse number 19. Here we're given the a little bit of understanding about the sower. How many know what a sower is? Guy's got seed, he's got a pouch in his hand, and we're not talking about a tractor with a planter on the back of it. We're talking about a guy with a sack full of seed reaching his hand in and casting it out into the breeze that it might fall on the ground. When we do that, that seed's not always going to land exactly where we'd like for it to land. Matter of fact, we don't always know what would be a good place for it to land at. We're talking about an area where there were no cement roads. There were some paths that people walked on. There might have been some paths where animals would trek upon. And the Bible says that some of that seed, as they would cast it forth, would land on those. Those were hard surfaces. In verse number 19, it talks about that. It says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That is he which receives seed by the wayside. Here's a person that is really hardened to the things that are coming their direction. They've been beat down by the world, we might say, as they've trampled across it. But what we see here is somebody who's really not concerned on the inside. They're not fertile. They're not allowing the Word of God to have a place. Got your Bible? Turn in the book of Proverbs. I want to share something with you that God gave me many times, actually, but the other day it just really zoomed in on my soul. Book of Proverbs, chapter 2. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." There is something that is needful if we're going to receive instruction. We must really want it. We must really want. And he gives the illustration like somebody who is seeking after silver, somebody who is seeking after finances, if you would. They're concerned enough, they want it. The problem is, we don't get concerned about that. Not concerned of what's on the inside, who we are, and where we're going. When somebody can finally come to the spot where they recognize that without Jesus Christ, they're going to hell for eternity, and that booms in upon their soul, all of a sudden they begin to listen. All of those things they passed by now begin to make sense. And now they can receive that, the instruction they need in order to be saved. But oftentimes folks are just not concerned on the inside. Notice verse number 20. It says, "He that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth." Here's ground's got rocks in it. Of course, rocks is not going to produce a great crop. But what do we see here? Here's a soil that's not prepared. If we had a lot of rocks in our soil, like some of Missouri has, no offense, Doc, but I've seen where they had gone through the fields and they picked up all those stones and on the edge of the field they had piled those up, actually made a fence out of it. Because the less stones you have, the more you're able to grow. And so here you have stony ground. Oftentimes, we're willing to allow the Word of God just certain places in our life. It's good for this, but I'm not going to allow it for something else. And we need to allow the Word of God to have access to all areas of our life, not just certain portions of it. For God wants to lead us in all areas. In the following verse, in verse number 22, it says, "He that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful." Many others, though they hear, they're more interested in the things of this world. Oh, they've heard it, but they got better things. They believe. But seriously, what's greater than eternal instruction? What is better than spiritual instruction? But oftentimes, that's where it goes. The man that allows the seed of the Word of God into all of his life is going to be allowing the fruit of the Spirit to come into his life. Verse 23, "He that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the Word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. It is that which is bountiful." Why? Because he's willing to listen. He wants it. He desires it. Until we come to that spot in our lives, the Word of God will not have the importance that it ought to have. And how we need to allow God to really speak to us. We don't have listening ears often. We close it off. And we don't allow the soil of our life to be taken care of by the Lord, to be plowed up. You see that stony, or that path that is there, the plow can go through there and break that up and have it ready. We don't allow the stones to be taken out because we just want to allow the Word of God into certain parts of our lives when it is so important for our entire life. Listen, you and I need this Word. It is so important to take us from one step to the next. And when we disallow it in our lives and allow everything else to guide us, we are on the wrong step. How we need to allow God's Word to guide every step. Amen? Every step. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank You for this, Your Word, and these things about hearing. God, I pray You give us hearing ears. Lord, we might have understanding hearts, that we not discount the things of God and just shrug it off. Oh God, even after we're saved lengthy times, sometimes we just get in that kind of position. God, save us from that. And Lord, just give us that kind of an ear and that kind of a longing for Your Word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.